Well, my thanks to all of you. It was absolutely beautiful, all four pieces, lovely. The only thing we're missing is a fifth or sixth. Some of you may be hiding your talents. Well, we're going to be out here a little early, so you will have time to chatter in here. If we just have to be out by five, no problem. I tend to stay on time. And I just want to say to Hannah Bergman, who played the violin, that she does so beautifully. And all the money that her parents spent on her violin lessons, whether she liked it or not, I understand, has paid off with a scholarship. And so it was worth the money. So just remember that. For the rest of you who are thinking about it. But I really want Hannah to play something special for me. Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto. I don't know where you pick up the CDs to go with that. And you don't have to play the whole thing at one time. You can play each movement. This week, one movement. And then next time I'm at church, you can play the second movement. You're familiar with Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto? It's the most beautiful concerto ever to me. Anyway, although Beethoven's fourth was really good, you could do that too. Very nice. I want to ask a question, and actually I spoke on this subject 6 years ago down in Georgia before the prom, but there are a lot of people who didn't hear it, who are here, who were not at that prom. I want to ask a question. But first, before I do, I want to mention, many of you may have heard of James Dobson, Focus on the Family, a psychiatrist or psychologist, actually, I think. And he was talking about what we value in life. And if they asked people, if you had your choice to be either really good looking or extremely wealthy or extremely intelligent. So extremely good looking, extremely wealthy, extremely intelligent. What do you think most people chose? What do you think? Well, let's just see. If you were to choose between those three, how many of you would choose to be extremely intelligent? Well, a lot of you. Okay. Some of you, that wouldn't be your first choice. How about extremely wealthy? Not as many. How about extremely good looking? Are you afraid to raise your hand? One of my granddaughters raised her hand back there. By the way, I've been on good behavior as far as my granddaughters. And I was on good behavior last week with Courtney Horvath. I didn't pick on her. She was baptized. Courtney's the one who sang here the last piece. She was baptized last Sabbath. After services. And I didn't say to her, who's that guy sitting by you? So, you see, I could do that today. But I don't want to ruin my relationship with my granddaughters. So I'm being careful. I see at least three of them have boys sitting beside them. So, what are your intentions? Do you know, actually, in a survey where it wasn't, those questions I asked weren't asked in front of everybody, but they did a survey where people, you know, could write it quietly without having to raise their hand in front of everybody. What do you think most people chose? Good looking. Most people chose to be good looking. We are so judgmental. We all tend to judge people by how they look. Remember the lady, can't remember her name, that sang that over in, was it in England? And she sang so beautifully and people were going, because she wasn't attractive. And you think, well, good singers have to be also attractive, which is not true, of course. God used a lot of young people in the Bible. A lot of young people. They didn't wait till they were have a foot in the grave like I have. David was young, right? Jeremiah was young. He thought he was too young. Samuel was chosen when he was just, must have been about 3 or 4 years old, that God began using him. Maybe 4 or 5. But just a child, God began using Samuel. Timothy was just young when God began using him. Joseph was 17 or 18 when God chose him, let him go into Egypt as a slave. And then and let him be there for about 12 years as a slave and a prisoner, and then made him ruler under the Pharaoh over all Egypt at age 30. So he had been in slavery and prison for about 12 years. But he chose him when he was young. And another one is Samson. Now the Philistines began ruling over Israel. When Israel was sin, God would allow the Moabites or the Ammonites or the Philistines to begin conquering them. And then God was going to deliver them after 40 years from the Philistines. And he chose to use Samson. I didn't ask how many guys would like to be. Of course, this is part of looks, right? But being really strong, really muscular. You know, you can go down. I exercise. But would you believe I'm really not working on trying to look good just to feel good? Would you believe that? Hey, I'm 73. There's only so much can be done. But there are a lot of guys in there. I mean, they really look good. You know, and all the in these exercise places, you notice how they cover the walls with what? Mirrors. Yeah. So they can see themselves. Samson had a problem with women. He had a problem with women. Three women specifically are mentioned in the Bible that he had trouble with. And I want to look at them. This is a sermon on beauty. It's not wrong to be beautiful. My wife's beautiful. My daughters are beautiful. My daughter-in-laws are beautiful. My granddaughters are beautiful. You're beautiful. Maybe not everybody near you, but you. All right, in Judges 14, verses 1 to 3, is good-looking woman number one. Good-looking woman number one. Judges 14, verses 1 through 3. By the way, just out of curiosity, while you're turning, think about this. I can ask you this. How many of you have heard me give this sermon before? Okay, 2, 3, 4. Okay, and you two? But you didn't remember it, right? You chose your wife for her character, but she's so beautiful. But you hadn't noticed that until after you were married, right? Okay. Well, she is gorgeous. Gorgeous young lady. Just like all the young ladies here. Here's good-looking woman number one. Now, Samson went down to Timnah and saw, there's the word, saw, S-A-W, eyeballs, a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. This was a pagan woman, not converted, but he saw her of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, who needed to arrange a marriage, saying, I have seen, there he goes again, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? Yeah, it'd be like, are there any guys or girls not in the church that are tempting, that are good looking? Guys and girls at school? Can look yummy. Well, maybe the guys can't, but the girls sure can. Look yummy. All right. Samson said to her father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now, you know that is not an accurate translation. Because there is a word in there in the Hebrew, ayin, and it means eyes. The word eye is in this Hebrew. The Expositor's Bible Commentary tells us that really what he said was, she is right in my eyes. Or the Interlinear Bible, she is pleasing in my eyes. This guy, is it repetitious to say that he was a guy who had trouble with his eyes? First of all, if you just say he's a guy, isn't that enough to say he has trouble with his eyes? She's pleasing in my eyes. The New American Standard Bible. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among your people, all our people, that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she looks good to me. The Douay Rheims Bible, an old Catholic version, but they have it right. For she has pleased my eyes. Girls can do that. They can please a guy's eyes. Hey, I understand. I'm old, not dead. You know? The International Standard Version. I like the way they have it. She looks fine to me. Okay. Do you ever get the feeling, guys, that girls just worry about how they look? They're always worried about their looks. Just constantly worried about their looks, about their hair. I mean, Lucretia and I visited a family, and they asked the daughter to move into a different room and let us have her bedroom. She had a nice double bed, and she had a table there. Now, this was a young lady in high school, absolutely gorgeous girl, but she had a table absolutely filled with every kind of coloring and potion and skin thing, and you're thinking, this young lady really knows how to gild the lily. I mean, she could not have been more beautiful no matter what she did. She was just a gorgeous young lady. And we're a whole table full of stuff to make herself, she felt, more beautiful. Why do girls worry so much about their looks? Girls, you know why. It's because you have figured out that guys can see so much better than they can think. So much better. Samson's just such an example. Just such an example. I mean, look at this. How much money is spent on cosmetics? Things to put, mascara, things to put on the eye, colorings around, things to do the eyebrows, coloring for the hair, things to thicken the hair. I mean, how much money is spent on looking supposedly better? Looking better. I mean, plastic surgeons, see, so you don't look old. Beauty salons, the fashion industry. I mean, Lucretia and I for years went to Africa. And you'd say, well, they're not interested. No, they are. They're very interested in making themselves beautiful. And that's just the way it is. The Judges 14, verse 7. Judges 14. Here. I was reading it out of my 14, verse 7. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Once again, I'm reading out of the King James. The I is mentioned in here. The Interlinear Bible, and she was pleasing in the eyes of Samson. The New American Standard. So he went down and talked to the woman, and she looked good to Samson. I'm sure she was good looking. The Douay Rheims, or Rhymes maybe. And he went down and spoke to the woman that had pleased his eyes. And once again, the International Standard Version says, she looked fine to Samson. Well, the marriage fell through. The marriage fell through due to other circumstances. So I want to go to good-looking woman number two. Now, he had trouble with good-looking woman number one. Here's good-looking woman number two. Doesn't tell what she looked like, but she had to be good looking. Some women use their beauty to make money. Well, not all of them become prostitutes, but some do. Judges 16, verse 1. Judges 16, verse 1. Now, Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. That was a sin. He gave in to her beauty and went into her, paid her money, had sex with her, short-term relationship, sinned before God because he saw her. Prostitutes can use their beauty. I've been to Africa many times. There are many prostitutes in the hotels there. Some of them are just, young, stunningly beautiful women. Stunningly beautiful women, young women. I was in the Sheraton in Lagos, Nigeria. And I was sitting, they had in the lobby a little jazz group. And I thought, well, I'll just, before I go up and go to bed, I'll sit down and listen to this little jazz group. And up on a little balcony around the area, there was a little foliage. And this, I was listening, I looked up, and this girl's staring at me. And right over here was a bar. And these stunningly beautiful girls, young girls, were walking around, and mostly old white men. And these girls were hanging all over them. So, and I mean, you knew what they were. But this one girl kept staring at me. And I finished, the jazz quit. So I went over to the elevator. Now, they're not allowed to go up the elevator unless one of the patrons, one of the men who's staying there, takes them. So I got on the elevator and I turned around, looked down, and she had come over and she said, "Are you coming back?" And I told her no. And I went up. So he gave in to her beauty. Now I want to talk about good-looking woman number three. And this is the one you've all heard of. Delilah. This good-looking woman number three. And she's in Judges 16, verses 4 through 6. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. You know, they use the word loves just as wildly as we do. Did he really love her? Well, he loved the way she looked. So in Judges 16, verse 4, afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him." Now, how deep was her love for him? "And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." That's a huge amount of money. So Delilah, who loved money more than she loved Samson, this is her character. Did he love her for her character? Don't think so. What's character got to do with it, right? What's character got to do with a girl? Any girl looks like that's got to have character, right? Any girl with a waist that small has got to be converted. "Please tell me where your great strength lies." Notice I was careful to say whose waist is that small. I could have covered other areas, but see, you didn't think I had that character, did you? Anyway. He said, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. So she's ready to do him dirt. And she does. Let's read starting in verse 18. Finally, he told her the truth. He told her that it was his long hair. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, what'd she do? Did she say, "Oh, I can't betray him, I love him so much"? No, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. And make it worse, Delilah. Get involved. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees. Oh, isn't she sweet? And called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then this sweet girl, but she was so beautiful, began to torment him. And his strength left him. She began to torment him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I'll go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him. What gave Samson all of his trouble? What was his problem? His eyes. Right? His eyes. Boy, can our eyes get us in trouble. Notice what happened. What did God allow to happen? They put out his eyes. The very thing that had given Samson all of his trouble with women. Because he judged them with his eyes. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to think that someone's beautiful. But if that is the ultimate judgment, is how they look. I mean, think of the most beautiful people in the world. The most beautiful people in the world. Maybe Hollywood, right? Movie stars. Handsome men. Gorgeous women. They get married. Their pictures are on these rags that you pick up as you check out. I don't. Maybe you don't. But someone could as they check out. Or you may not buy it, but you can read so-and-so with so-and-so. And so-and-so's cheating on so-and-so. And they're divorcing or whatever. And here are these handsome men, these beautiful girls. How often do they have happy marriages? How often do they have marriages that last? They've got the looks. The guys are handsome. The girls are incredibly beautiful. But their marriages don't last. My experience is there's absolutely no, well, I shouldn't say that totally, but it seems like there's absolutely no correlation to how a couple look as to how happy their marriage will be. Matter of fact, I've even said to some, you know, I've joked with it. I don't have a lot of hope for you guys because you are both good looking. I remember I was years ago was taking two boys. They lived a long distance from, I was living in Little Rock at the time, but I was taking two boys home from youth activities. And the one was about a senior, as I recall, and his brother was a year or two younger. And I thought, well, we can use the time profitably, about an hour to take them home. And up at Heber Springs, north of Little Rock. So I said, what do you think would be the most important thing to look for in a wife? And the oldest boy said, kind of shocked me. He said, a good body. Well, I was a little stunned. You know, I mean, even if he felt that way, you wouldn't think he'd say it to his pastor, right? Huh? But I got to talking to him. And after a while, I said, well, what percentage of the girls in the church do you think have a good body? And he said, 95%. And I got to thinking, you know, if he looked at the other 5%, he might begin to think they were looking good too. So, but he, let me just tell you, he married a girl from another area, but she, with a good body. I didn't perform the wedding, but I was there. Lucretia and I were there. And she had a low-cut wedding gown. And I remember saying to Lucretia, she's making sure he doesn't get cold feet and back out. And I said to Lucretia, she is young. She is beautiful. She will bring him many weeks of happiness. And she did. I think the marriage lasted about a year. But it was a really good body. Just not a happy marriage. So, you know, it's not wrong for a guy to marry a girl with a good body. But, you know, if that's it, and no character, none of God's Spirit, not converted, a marriage not based on the fruits of the Spirit of love and joy and peace, it may not be a very happy marriage. Well, anyway, poor Samson, who let his eyes guide him, they put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. But you know, he never had another problem. Well, first of all, he was a slave. But he never had another problem with women, did he? Never had. He probably had a long time to think about this. A long time to think about it. So, it says, the Lord's, verse 23, the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer this great sacrifice and to Dagon their god and to rejoice. They said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson our enemy. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. Don't know what they had him do. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. Wonder what he did. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple. You know, they have actually dug up Philistine temples, and they have found that they had two pillars in these temples that were extremely close together. You'd think, why would the pillars be that close? But they were huge pillars, very close together. So, interesting. Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now, the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. In fact, there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who watched while Samson performed. Then Samson called on the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple. He braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And God delivered Israel from the Philistines. You know, in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. Judges 17 and verse 6. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We're so used to our eyes being our guide that we tend to use it as an expression. Looks good to me. What do you think? We should do this? Well, it looks good to me. Everybody did what was right in his own eyes. We're so directed that way. And you know, when I came up, and it's a little different now, but even in the movies, if you don't think guys have enough problem with their eyes and judging girls with their eyes, and girls judge guys, let's face it, sometimes with their eyes, wow, he's cute. I don't think it's as bad that the girls do it it's not total as it might be with some guys. But you grow up in the movies. Now, remember Snow White? Remember Snow White? And she was the fairest in all the land. And the queen was beautiful. Except the real queen. Now, when she died, she was changed into an old, ugly hag. And then she died, falling off the cliff as an old, ugly hag. So Snow White has to be beautiful. Or Cinderella. Cinderella was beautiful. And then the two ugly stepsisters. See, they were the mean, nasty ones. They weren't good. I will say they're doing a little better. Shrek. I like Shrek. You know? And that they didn't end up where he loves her and she twists around and comes down and stays beautiful. And he stayed the way he was. So they're doing a little better. Beauty and the Beast. This guy, what was his name? Wasn't Gaston or whatever. Was it Gaston? Gaston. Was he the handsome guy? Yes. Okay. Am I saying it correctly? Okay. My granddaughter, whom I have not teased yet. I won't do it. Speaks French. Gaston had these three beautiful girls who just wanted him so much because he was handsome and strong and could do everything right. And all the girls wanted him except for Belle, who also was Belle. Beautiful. But he didn't want these three girls that wanted him. He wanted the one who didn't want him. Of course, all the guys are thinking, man, those three girls are pretty good looking. Why do you want this one who doesn't want you? But it was the Beast that ended up being the hero. Although he didn't stay a beast. Who's in the Bible is good looking and who is not? Now, there are some who are really good looking that are in the Bible. One of the really good looking ones is Satan. In Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 17. Ezekiel 28. Satan, people draw Satan as if he is really, weird looking. Evil. But the Bible says he was good looking. Talking about him starting in verse 11 and 12, the king of Tyre. And then it says in verse 12, it's talking about Satan now, not a physical king. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That's Satan. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. You think you have jewelry? He had jewelry. And it talks about him being, verse 14, the anointed cherub who covers. And then he says, verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. So he was really good looking. On the other hand, what about the Messiah, Jesus? Was he good looking? Anybody remember? How many say he was good looking? How many say he wasn't? How many don't have a clue? How many never raise your hand because the preacher's got some trick question? There you go. All right. Well, let's look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. This is a prophecy of the Messiah, Jesus. And you can read about him. We read about him in just recently with the Passover. these verses are usually read about that time. Beautiful verses. I'm just going to skip through verses 3 through 6. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Verse 4, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are all healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But I want to go back and read a little bit about Jesus, about the Messiah, and start in verse 1 and read verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 53. So we see it's about the Messiah, this chapter. Jesus, who has believed our report, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. That's Jesus, but tender in the sense of a gentle plant. Tender. And as a root out of dry ground, that is spiritual, out of a area where there was a lack of God's Spirit. He has no form or comeliness. Hey, look at this. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus was not a good-looking, handsome man. That might have been to his advantage, since he wasn't going to get married anyway. On the other hand, in Luke 1, verse 45 through 52, and I will just speculate as I read Luke 1. Why wasn't Jesus good looking? I mean, who was his father? God. But on the other hand, God was his father spiritually, not physically, in a sense. I mean, Jesus, he said, if you see me, you see the Father. But he wasn't talking about brilliant white hair, face shining. He wasn't talking about his looks. He's talking about his character. But his looks, I would think, came from his physical parent, his mother. Was she good looking? You see the drawings, the statues of Mary. She doesn't look homely. But maybe she was homely. Maybe he got some homeliness from his mother. Well, in Luke 1, verse 45, this is blessed is she, this is her cousin speaking, Elizabeth, blessed is she who believes, speaking of Mary, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, this is Mary, the mother of Jesus, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maid servant. Even a girl who is poor in this world, if she is beautiful, is not considered to be in a lowly state. And yet Mary speaks of herself as the lowly state of his maid servant. And then she talks about how God has blessed her. How God has blessed her. And another one that was really handsome in the Bible was Saul. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. 1 Samuel, chapter 10. Saul was the first king that most of us think of when we think of the first king of Israel. And he really impressed because he was tall. Must have been handsome. Big guy. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 23. So they ran. He'd been hiding. And brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. This is an impressive guy, humanly. And Samuel, you know, Samuel had the same problem. He judged people with his eyes, judged men with his eyes, even. You know, what a handsome guy, this tall Saul. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see?" Wait, what has that got to do with Saul's character or his being fit to be king? What is how tall he is got to do with that? "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people?" They hadn't heard him say a word. They knew nothing about his character. But they saw him. "There is no one like him among all the people." So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king." Okay, now let's go to chapter 16 and verse 1. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1. Saul failed as a king. He didn't have the character, the faith. He was humble at first, but he lost his humility. As king, he lost his humility. Easy to happen to an absolute ruler. All the sycophants around there saying, "Oh, king, live forever. You're wonderful. You have wonderful judgment. You do everything right." Chapter 16, verse 1, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided myself a king among his sons.'" So he went there. He didn't know which son. Let's read verse 6 and 7. "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab." Now here is the first son. Here's the firstborn. "And said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" This Eliab. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance.'" Even Samuel tended to look at the appearance. None of us are immune. You are not immune from judging with your eyes. And I'm not either. I realize how foolish it is. But there they are in front of your head. And they just fill your mind. "Do not look on his appearance." At least we need to stop and think. Add that. "Do not look on his appearance, or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees." Now that's a rule, a general rule. It is a rare human being that can overcome his or her eyes and look for the heart. Does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. A sermon on how to choose a mate is a different sermon. But there are things more important than looks. Now, you won't ignore looks. You're going to see. None of you are immune from that. But if that's your main criteria, well, just like the guy in Arkansas, he married someone who did bring him many weeks of happiness. Many weeks. Well, not all. Maybe I'm overemphasizing the word many. But a few weeks of happiness. And then it wore off. Just like all the Hollywood marriages. You've got to live with the person, not just their looks. In Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Now I'm going to ask a question in a moment. And I would think that only the older folks here will be able to remember the person that I'm going to bring up. I had wanted, if it weren't impossible, if we had been able to show slides, PowerPoint, I would have brought some pictures of one of the most beautiful women that has ever lived, that we know of. And I'll say her name in a moment, and I think most of you young people never heard of her. But she was famous when I was young. But notice verse 30. Proverbs 31 verse 30. Says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Goodspeed has, I like this, charms are deceptive. And beauty is a breath. It's just there for a moment. You don't stay young forever. The New English Bible, charm is a delusion. Say a young lady has her charms. Strictly between us. You're charming as Venus, and much more, you've got arms. Some of you may remember that. If you're old, you might remember. How many of you remember that? Oh, there's somebody who remembers it. And you're not that old, are you? You're still young. You are old? Okay. Sitting beside your grandson makes you feel old. He thinks you're old, doesn't he? Yeah, he nods yes. Okay, Daniel. Sometimes it's better to just say nothing. Okay. You don't want to lie, but I like charm is a delusion and beauty fleeting, says the New English Bible. Or one called God's Word says charm is deceptive. And beauty evaporates. How many of you remember Brigitte Bardot? Oh, a few hands. You remember Brigitte Bardot? I'm talking about, but yeah, you do. Russ, how about behind you? You remember Brigitte Bardot? She was a French actress. She was called one of the sex kittens. She was absolutely, and I would show her picture, and I thought about, man, some of these pictures are just so. People would say, why are you showing that picture of this? I did bring her picture. And you can't really see it well from here. It's Brigitte Bardot. Can you see that? Up front you can. Is she beautiful? Absolutely. I mean, she was one of the most... She was a French actress who just set Europe on its ear because she was so gorgeous. But she mainly... You didn't see her a lot. She didn't speak English, I guess, that well. And she was basically in French films. So... But you could see her. Now, on the other hand, here's Brigitte Bardot. And I'll have the picture out if you want. Maybe I put it back there on that little table right back there in the corner. Here's another picture. Who's that? Can you see this lady here? Can you even get a glance at it and back? Kind of tell? They're both of Brigitte Bardot. They're both of her. I'm not making fun of Brigitte. She's in her 80s. I just want you to... She would be the first one. She's one who said, I have been happy, adored, worshipped, wealthy, and unhappy. She was happy first, and then... She had all the men in Europe. I mean, she was married at least 3 times. And lots of men. She once said, why does every man who watches my movies thinks that he can have sex with me? Well, because that's the way you look, Brigitte. That's the way you came across. She was beautiful. And... She's given up on people. She likes dogs now. Okay, let's see. 2 minutes. I will just turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter. We don't like to go over in Nashville. I once had a young child come up after a sermon. It was a split sermon, so it wasn't an hour. And say, I don't know, little child said, I really liked your sermon. And I thought, oh, wow, little child liked my sermon. Wow, that was... But I made the mistake of saying something. I said, what did you like about it? She said, it was short. So, 1 Peter, that was up in Louisville, Kentucky. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Do not let your beauty be that of outward adorning, of arranging the hair. It doesn't say you can't arrange your hair. Ladies, it doesn't say you can't try to be beautiful. Nothing wrong with being beautiful or rich or intelligent. But don't trust. Don't let that be... What should be the most beautiful? Inside. That's what we all need to work on, guys and girls. If we could just have a table full of potions that we could rub on our heart and minds. Don't let it be the outward adorning of arranging hair. Arrange your hair for the dance. Look beautiful. Wear a beautiful dress. But don't let that be your true beauty of wearing gold or of putting on fine apparel. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.